Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Being BB isn't easy. For those of you familiar with these podcasts and my commentaries, you know that BB was born with multiple defects. Her upper jaw is now about close to an inch longer than her lower jaw. Her lower jaw is wonky. She has paralysis on one side of her face. She's deaf and visually impaired, and her coordination isn't that great either. But now BB has an additional problem. She's coming of age. And in the normal scheme of things, that means that she should be thinking about making her move to increase her status in the canine pack. This is a perfectly normal event, usually at most a ritualistic fight or two, as long as people don't artificially support one dog or the other, or as long as the dogs involved don't feel responsible for protecting the owners because of the way the owners have interacted with them. And under normal circumstances, a corgi in her prime of life should easily succeed a five-year-old puffball as the leader of their canine pack. But BB isn't normal. And unfortunately, Fricka, the five-year-old puffball, knows this, and BB doesn't. And there's no reason why BB should know this in a way, because this is the way that BB has always been. But because of this, Fricka isn't willing to cede, but she's also too smart to fight. For one thing, the fact that BB can't hear means that she can't alert to changes in the environment. And in fact, what BB does is she watches the other dogs, and if they start to bark, she barks, but she barks after them. And this is not leader dog behavior. She also can't go up and down the stairs. She can't jump up onto the bench like a normal corgi could and look outside and see what's going on. And even if she could look outside, she couldn't see that much. So there's this instability in the house right now. And I'd like to say it has nothing to do with me, that I've been smart enough to relate to all the dogs in a way that communicates that this is between them. And it has nothing to do with me. And I think so far that's held true, because the only serious fight that has occurred when I was gone. But the fact remains, I still have to carry BB up and down the stairs. And I suppose if she wanted to, BB could put a certain proprietary spin on that and say that that means that I'm subservient to her. Or it could also mean that she is sufficiently dependent on me that she's willing to put more energy into moving up the ranks. And the fact is, she's got a corgi mind. Her reality in her mind is a corgi reality. And it's not Fricka's companion dog mentality. So there's a difference there. And it's hard for Frick. Frick isn't a fighter, she's a lover. She wants no part of this. And basically, she spends a lot of her time now trying to stay out of BB's way. And I can't blame her for that. Bamboo's coming in for his share of abuse from BB too. Bamboo's even more of a challenge for BB, because rather than moving past his prime, as five-year-old Frick is, Bamboo is just coming into it. And the reality is, Bam is just full of it. And he's also a quintessential cat. So when BB tries to do her social structure thing, he's totally oblivious to it. He doesn't care about pack structure. Dominance, submission, forget it. That's not where he's coming from. And so she gets frustrated, and he still has his big cardboard box in the living room where I keep his food, because even though he's mastered the cellar steps and uses the litter box in the basement now, he's not big enough yet to jump up on the counter and get his food. So his food is in there. And BB gets frustrated, and she bashes that box. As a result of that, Bam is now trying to tear up the paper at the bottom of the box and use it to cover or cache his food to protect it. So it's tough for him, too. So what to do? Stay out of it as much as I can. Draw the line when it gets too intense, which it hasn't yet. When I'm gone, most of the time, Bibi is in her crate. The one incident that did occurred when I was out working in the garden. And I honestly don't know what that was about. But it was, I would say, almost guaranteed to have been rank-related because Fricka wound up with a puncture wound in her ear. And I do admit that normally that wouldn't have bothered me, except that overbite of Bibi's combined with the paralysis means that she doesn't have a good awareness of where her teeth are, and even if she did, they would wind up in the wrong place. She doesn't have the jaw alignment that normal dogs have that protect other dogs they might grab to signal higher rank. So that's where we are right now. And I feel sorry for Bibi. Coming of age for any species is a difficult time. And it's even more difficult when your mind tells you one thing and your body is communicating something else. Being Bibi isn't easy. And sometimes being around her isn't easy either. But one thing Bibi does is to remind me that there's a little bit of Bibi in all of us. It's that part of us that thinks that our view of reality is the only right one. And it's that part of us that struggles, sometimes, so hard, to realize that this isn't true.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.